Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston, how are you this evening?
Oh, hanging in there. How about you?
Good. Thanks for giving me the night off last night. I had a little bit of a headache that I couldn't get rid of. So we're day late, but never a dollar short.
Never, ever. This pod is worth its weight in gold.
For sure. Let's kind of just jump right in. There wasn't a lot of golf going on this weekend. I know I didn't play any, did I?
I might have hit four golf balls in total. Swing's feeling really good, actually. I have increased flexibility and rotation. Some people know this. Maybe I mentioned I lost 30 pounds.
Yeah, you said that.
Oh, my gosh.
I actually went out and did a playing lesson today and was actually hitting the driver, especially, was really good.
Nice.
That's which is good. So I think I'm figuring a few things out, which is even better. A lot of it's just mental and just committing to the shot. Some of it was like there were some things that I needed to work on that I'm still working on. But yeah, wasn't a lot of golf, and I actually didn't watch much golf. I did watch some golf on Sunday. Watched just a teeny bit on Saturday, but Thursday and Friday I really didn't pay attention to it. Besides here and there when I was in and out of a couple of places at courses. And I thought I really was after the first two sessions where it was 8-2, like luckily 8-2 for the international team. I was thinking that it was just going to be, I was like, they might not even need to place the Sunday singles matches.
It's quite the bloodbath, to be honest. Like, after you get in lead like that, it really did seem like a foregone conclusion. And even some of the international team mentioned it. I think Adam Scott said this was not the week we anticipated, but just hang in there. We're gonna be better. Yeah. It's like, how are you going to be better?
Yeah, and they got better, but I mean, some of that could have just been complacency on the U.S. part. But the U.S. hangs on to win. I mean, they're up four. Come back from that. And the internationals, there's too much firepower on the U.S. side, even though there was some players that didn't play well at all. Sam Burns wasn't very good. Well, he actually played pretty good, but he got paired with Scotty Scheffler twice, and Scotty was not good.
No.
Kisner was not good, which I was actually surprised about. Like, I was in the last President's Cup, I was actually thinking he might be a good play for that, but he was not getting match play from this. Yeah. Is not as good as what I was thinking.
He might have needed to like not care about the President's Cup, and then he probably would have played pretty darn good.
Yeah, could have been. Yeah, but they win it for the 10th time in a row.
Shocker.
So the question is do they need to make changes? I was talking with some buddies, and we were talking in there, like, they're like, yeah, they need to do something, because this is just, it's just can continue to be the same old, right?
Yeah, well, and the freaking PGA Tour ban didn't help anybody or anything.
No, it really hurt, because if you think about it, you're like, okay, maybe you have DeChambeau, you definitely have DJ, So DJ's the biggest loss for sure. I think. Yeah. I think DeChambeau, he's negligible. But the guys you get rid of when you have, and a guy who played actually pretty well, but when you have a Siwoo Kim, not a Siwoo Kim, who is not back to his full go from his mandatory military service in Korea. Yeah. So when he's not back from that, and he ends up on the President's Cup team, right? And like KH Lee, I don't know where they all ended up falling as far as, you know, you can't even pull it up. Now when you go to pull it up, it doesn't show like where the players were as far as who was selected. But I mean, Taylor Pendrith, I mean, who's he? Right. Tom Kim, who started to make a little bit of a name for himself. He's got a win, pretty good game. But yeah, like there's just not a lot of firepower on this thing. KH Lee, you know, you're kind of there. Mito Pereira, who's had a pretty good year, but didn't play well, right? You just have a stacked team in the U.S. favor. But he was telling me, and I was actually going to search it, but I forgot. But there's a talk of them including the women in this. I think the internationals would mop. They may just like, but it would make it interesting.
I think a men women event would be fantastic. Yeah. I'm in full support of that, actually. And I think it would provide a lot more diversity. And maybe the President's Cup should be that vehicle that provides that.
Yeah.
But my one slight to it is this really the only way that the international team gains an edge?
Right now, yeah. Yeah. We both agree, I think, that the players on the LIV, if they were qualified, should have been able to play, right? In future years, they may not have been qualified, so that's a different story.
Cam but Smith and Leishman would have been on the team for sure.
Neiman would have been on the team. Neiman
as well, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got three guys there, and Cam Smith and Neiman, that's two really good players.
I mean, think about it. That could have been, Cam Smith could have garnered like 4 points himself, right?
Yeah.
Like, because he's that good. He really is.
Yeah.
And especially with some of these other players not being on the American team, like that Cam Smith could have made it a whole lot more interesting.
Yeah. Joaquin Neiman. Did he play in the last one? I don't think he played in the last one. No, I think he may have. But Joaquin's coming and being a really good player, coming into his own. Mm-hmm. So, but I did hear a comment that was like, yeah, do you think the PGA Tour is going to give up money to the ladies? That's a no. It's a big NO.
Well, PGA Tour give up money to anybody has been a big no for a long time. So don't think they're singling out the ladies.
Yeah, but this is true. This is true.
But I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it's a good one. But here's the reality of it, right? Like, why is soccer so amazing in Brazil, in Argentina, and in the UK, and not in America? Right, comes down to having accessibility as well as a financial backing towards that particular sport and huge support around it.
Right.
And with the way the PGA Tour is monopolizing competitive golf, it's taking any potential talent away from those countries where they could be a positive impact for spreading the sport. So, mm-hmm. Rory McIlroy, he's out of the UK.
He played in Utah for a summer.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so you have, like, you really start to jeopardize the potential growth of international golf when you monopolize the sport and make everybody play in America. And I'd say that's definitely the case for American football, right? Like,
right.
Nobody else is going to play football anywhere else. Why? Because it all happens in America. And so that, I think that's happening to golf. And there's no other avenues to really gain an international type league.
Wait, is there though?
Beats. Oh, there is, if it becomes like a 72 yes. hole stroke, create their own majors, a true competitive tour, that would be amazing, right? But we're talking like on a global yes. level. Like, we have three tournaments in the Australian swing, then we have four tournaments in the Asian swing, and then we have four tournaments in the South American swing. Like, that starts to grow the game when you have those types of potential media opportunities and impact in those local communities of professional golf, to where somebody catches the bug, right? But right now, nobody in Argentina is catching the golf bug. I'm just going to throw it out there.
No, and I mean, little by little, but nothing to the point where it should be.
No, where right? it could be, right?
But I think it's something that you spoke on last week, where you're like, Norman may have a plan where he's using the LIV Tour to then gain access to the Asian Tour, and then the Australasian Tour to create a difference, right? To create a different tour in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
Where he's pulling some guys that it cash is king, right? It's getting it in there, and so you're getting these guys over to this. And then you can say, like, okay, now we're going to start infusing. We're going to start doing some stuff with the Asian Tour and then maybe the Australasian Tour, right? And so then you start doing this, and all of a sudden LIV Tour becomes kind of exhibition WGC-ish.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have the Asian Tour, but then it broadens out and just starts swiping a little bit of land here and there, right, where it can't be ignored, which... No. Would be awesome.
I think there's a play, and I think it's probably going to go that way, and it would be a much better scenario for golf as a whole if we yes. had a better international presence, right?
Or he just does it to the point where, like I said, I still think there's something that came from this players meeting that was like, okay, we're going to let you have your spotlight. We don't think you handled this very well. We're going to let you run it out through the end of next year and then resign on your own fruition. Right? Because we know that Liv's not going to stop. Liv's going to do this. And then I think, and there's the possibility that it gets to a point where the PGA Tour with the new commissioner goes, it's time to come to the table and talk with Norman. And so then they come up with some kind of, hey, I know you guys have the, you know, you've got this, and you're doing some things to greatly improve the Asian Tour, right? And you're bringing a lot more to that. And, you know, whatever. We control the DP World Tour, and we have this. All right, so let's start merging these all into one, and then have... Instead of having it just the West Coast swing, you have the U.S. swing, and then the European swing, and the Asian swing, and the Australia swing. Can you imagine that tour would be friggin' phenomenal?
And look,
the courses you'd get to play, the you want to say grow the game.
Yeah.
That's how you grow the game.
Yeah. And that would be absolutely amazing, because you get these marquee players, and we'll just call it the top 50 tour, right?
Yeah.
What do we really want to watch? We want to watch the top 50 tour and make that a global game. And then you've got them, you get the top 50 and you just do like a 20 league tour or 20 tournament tour across the world, right? So they don't feel like they're getting burnt out because this is a lot more travel instead of just the USA tour when you got like mandatory 32 or something.
But if you're doing like six tournaments in a row all in a bit, you know, a little bit of an area, so then you can maybe extend it out a little bit longer, and then your travel's not as bad because then you're going over to Europe for, and you include, right, if you're going to do this, you include the British Open in that swing.
Oh yeah,
right, the US swing, you're doing the couple others, right?
Super League is what it would be, and then all the other tours could feed into that. Like, oh, you want to get there, you know, here's the Euro Tour that can feed into it, here's the PGA Tour that can feed, here's the Asian Tour that can feed. All of these can feed into this top 50, and once you get in there, guess what, that's where the big money is, and it's the show. And that could be really cool. Maybe the top 75 or something, I don't know.
Yeah, and I can swap out, and it's just, and it would be like a WGC type thing where it's like the top 75 at that point.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
We dream.
It'd be awesome. Dream big. It would be good. We need the best players playing together, whether they're the regular tour that they play for on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Is the same. They need to all come together for 8 to 10 tournaments a year. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, top, that would be fun. We went from changes to the President's Cup to just changes to golf tours in general.
Yeah.
I like it.
And I think it's great. And it just mirrors what's been happening out there. Like, I love some of those co-sanctioned events on the DP World Tour in Sweden. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be good. I really do. So I'm all for it.
Get well, doesn't involved. Isn't the... There's another tournament coming up where all of them are playing together again. Where isn't it the Alfred Dunhill Cup or something? Mm-hmm. Where they're letting them... all the live guys are allowed to play again. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Speaking of live, they have a playoff schedule organized.
Yes, they do. Well, it's their final event.
Yeah.
It's their team event match play. I think it's kind of cool, and it's like I said, I wish they were a little bit more clear, because I'm just getting it right from their website, and I heard a little bit about it, and I wasn't going to do the clickbait Golf Digest, click through their Instagram stuff, but I just pulled it. I just went right to the LIV website, and so it's at Doral, Trump Doral. Which is awesome. Blue Monster back in.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Back in the public square. Off the bench.
Because I have a lot of fond memories of watching a lot of Tiger victories and competitions on the PGA Tour at that location. So I'm excited to see that golf course again.
Yeah, back in the spotlight. It's the 12-team head-to-head competition. Basically... bracket knockout tournament for $50 million purse.
Yeah.
And so basically the top four teams going into this are exempt through the first round. They receive a bye, and then the five through 12 seeds will compete in a match play competition, and they have to win 2 points to advance.
Yeah,
2 points, because there's three there, And then the ones where they're not super clear that I think we determine that it says highest ranked teams select their opponents. So I don't know if that means like the 5 seed can select to play the 9, 10, or 11 seed.
Well, I think
or 12 so. Seed
or 6 seed. Because they're going to get the first pick. So I don't understand that. It should just be a typical seeding, right?
You would think. That's why you get it. But maybe they're saying, hey, we're going to let the top teams get to select.
I do like the format, right? So they're going to do 2 singles matches and 1 foursome match.
Yeah.
And I think the best part of this is – they, as expected, each match is worth 1 point, but no ties.
No ties.
You get to 18 and you're even.
Yep, sudden you go death. Extra holes, baby. Extra sudden hole. Death. Let's go.
No having. It is all it's win or die.
Well, and the fun, then the crazy thing there too is they're all playing. It's a shotgun start again, so they're all playing at the same time. So you can't be like, oh, they're up, and it's like, yeah, they might be up in this, but it's not like you're gonna see 3 teams go out and just start right in the President's Cup. You can have 4 or 5 matches out and it's just a, you know,
yeah,
big time in one way or the other, which can sway it, which this one doesn't.
Be interesting because I mean, obviously people will finish before 18. Sometimes matches go that way. Right.
Right.
But I mean, this is like, basically probably the best of the Ryder Cup, and you're just getting it in a live format with live players.
Yeah, live format with live players. 2 singles matches, and I love that it's the alternate shot. The third one is not a best ball. Nope, alternate shot.
There it is.
That one is an equalizer.
It is.
Kind of brings a lot of things into play. Yeah, no ties. So whoever receives 2 points then moves on. Highest ranked team selects their opponents, which my guess is again, right? One could play 2. I don't know that why you would do that. We all know who the number one seed is, right?
Right.
I don't think they can lose it at this point. I take that back.
You can.
They could lose the number one seed at this point. It would. The only team that could do it, I think, is the Stingers, though. Yeah. Because they have had high enough finishes.
Yeah.
And have won one. So, yeah.
It'll be
no ties.
To see all this crammed into 3 days, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah. And then you got mano a mano on Sunday, October 30th. Let's go. Mono a mono, I mean, like 4-on. Yep. On 4.
So it's pretty exciting. I think it's cool. Like, honestly, if you enjoyed watching the President's Cup in a team format, or you enjoy watching the Ryder Cup, well, guess what? Here's another team format in a more.
It's kind of so. And then I've actually I didn't read the whole bottom one. So the championship is stroke play.
Mm-hmm.
Between the 2 teams and all 4 teams count.
Yeah, all scores. So somebody it.
Yeah. And they gave, and they, Pat Perez is going to get the blunt of this, right? If he gets to it. Oh, you can't dog it now, Pat.
No, you got to.
In the last event, Pat's score counted in 2 of the 3 rounds.
Yeah. So it was a valiant effort in that regard, but.
He did have 1 bad round, but like I said, it's all or nothing, right? All players, all hands on deck for this one.
Yeah. So that'll be a fun one to watch.
And 50 sure. mil is like, I don't know. I don't think they've told us how it's going to break down. As far as that goes, it doesn't show so that in there, but
I think a lot of guys are looking at this and going like, that sounds pretty fun. I took
it. Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, this is way better than starting 10 strokes behind.
Yep. Oh, man.
But Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yep.
It will be fun. Now let's just go into what we do. To end this with a what's in the bag, and what's in the bag? The winner of the President's Cup, because he was undefeated, Jordan Spieth.
Oh yeah, Jordan Spieth. I mean, let's highlight the guy who went 5-0, right? So he was super solid during the entire thing. And so we're gonna do a rundown on the golf bag. He is a Titleist staffer and one of the rare staffers that does play a single brand in every club in the bag. So Titleist just released some new stuff. The
They did.
TSR, but it is not
It is
in the
not in
driver's.
his. It is
No.
not in his bag.
So
But he's kind of this way though, because he took a long time to switch
he does.
his T100s. He was playing, well, he was playing the AP2s for a long time and tried to switch and then went immediately back because he didn't like the newest iteration. So he tends to do this a little bit. He's like, eh, I really like this.
Yeah, he'll bounce between them and then he'll finally commit. But
Yeah.
right now he's playing the TSI 3 driver, which
He
has a great
sure.
shape and it's a good driver. He's got the Fujikura Ventus Blue 6X and yeah, jumping straight to 3 wood, the TSR
R,
3.
he went
So
TSR three.
he's got the new R in there, a little bit stronger 3 wood, 14.25. And he's got a Mitsubishi Tensei AV Raw Blue. So he's keeping the color code still in the
Yeah,
blue.
so it's still the same
Same launch
basic pro, like
profile,
yeah, launch is
essentially.
it's in the same launch family as
And just to
the
comment on that,
Ventus.
I do like that Fujikura essentially copied Mitsubishi, right? And some of these other companies have as well. Because it makes so much sense, like
Yes.
color profiles. And now
Yeah.
Project X, so basically True Temper and
Yeah.
Fujikura and Mitsubishi all do a red, all do a blue, and all do a black, and maybe
Yeah.
something else, right? And that's where maybe the color code kind of gets thrown out, but it makes a lot of sense from a fitting perspective. Anyways, jumping to the hybrid, which essentially is his 7 wood, if you
Yeah.
will. He's got the TSI 2 21 degree in the graphite design Tour 80 IZ95X hybrid shaft.
Yeah, I'm
So,
surprising with the because he had been the DI for so long
yeah.
in that. So no longer.
No longer, but now he's rocking the well, still is the Titleist T100s in 3 through 9 iron. And these particular irons really were designed to Spieth's specifications. And in fact, I think he played the most part in the designing of the T100. So they may not be the Jordan Spieth model, but they were basically the Jordan Spieth model. And it's been a long time since a club company has actually named an iron after somebody. I do think that's freaking awesome. And if you got a hot player that year and he has a special design, like just make it. People will buy it. These essentially are the Jordan Spieths. And then Vokey Design, he's got a ton of wedges. He's got 4. Because he doesn't play the pitching wedge. So he goes Vokey SM9 4610. And that's bent back just a half degree weak at 46.5. Then he has the 5208F. So the 46 and the 52, those are a little bit wider soles, great for just traditional full swing shots from the fairway or the rough. Great turf interaction with the F grinds. And then he goes into the 5610S, and that is a slightly, I mean, it's more of a mid bounce sand wedge. And it does sit lower to the sole and the ground because the S grind cuts off the trailing edge. So if
right.
you were looking for a sand wedge that was forgiving but didn't have too much bounce impacting your launch, this is definitely a great grind for that, because it sits so low to the ground. And I've noticed this as I've played with wedge grinds. If you put a ton of bounce on a wedge, that ball really jumps up into the air fast and high. Mm-hmm. And if you have a very low bounce wedge, it actually launches lower and you really get some good kind of nippy spin with it. And so that, I think that 10S is a really good middle ground if you're looking for.
Yeah, and it looks like you did take a little bit more trailing edge off of it than is normal, right? And that's, like we said, folks, 99% of the time they're not playing the same. They're having some modifications.
Yeah. Some mod for sure. And but it's a great wedge. Pretty versatile. And then he rounds out the bag with the most famous wedge of all. It is the 60 T grind, which he has at a 60.5 degrees of loft. And that's just a nice little touch. He plays an older T grind. So currently Vokey does do a wedge works,
mm-hmm.
and that is a different looking model. It kind of borrows some of the design aesthetics from the SM9, but his is an SM7 design.
And I love how they it's like, it's the Bob Vokey 2022 prototype. There's a whole bunch of different 2022 prototypes that just are out of the mold of whatever that player liked.
That's a stamp, my friend.
That is a stamp. Is like, oh, we can't put SM7 on that. We can't put SM6 on that. We've got to put, it's a 2022 prototype.
Now, it legit is an SM7. Like, it's got the same form, the same muscle shape, all on the back. It does have a 2022 stamp, so that's fresh and whatnot. But he has his own style of grind, which is a little bit more heel relief, if you can imagine that, on a T grind, and a little bit narrower sole than what you might see out there. So it is absolutely a versatile beast. And of all the T grinds, I think his is my favorite from a grind perspective. It is just nasty. And you just have to be one of the best short game artists in the world to play his grind the way it is. And if you are not, then you try that wedge and you will just hate short game. No.
You gotta like me know no it. Likey.
You gotta know it. So that, it's pretty amazing to see his wedge grinds and what he gets done. So 5-0. That was
5-0.
Anchored
by
old
trusty, old trusty Rusty.
Yeah, the longest
009.
Bag. And I guess to show a little bit of a backstory on this particular putter, typically you go to Scotty Cameron with an open mind and you go into the studio, and we're not talking the gallery. There's an off-site location called the studio where all the tour pros go, and they have all the high-tech putter fitting equipment, probably the best high-tech putter fitting scenario you can imagine that's been patented and you cannot replicate. In any case, that thing, that's where Spieth went to get fit. And this is probably before, you know, actually not probably, it's about when he was in college. And he knew that he would go into it and he would have a, you know, open menu, and they would just putt everything and find out which one putted best. But he really loved the look of an 009. And in that fitting, he purposely missed some other putters to make sure this one was the one he would walk away with, right?
Right.
Because you can't go in there and be like, well, Mr. Cameron, can I have three? You know?
Yeah.
You just kind of get what you get, and you don't get upset. And so he manufactured his results to get this putter, but turns out it's been pretty
It's
good.
been okay for it. It's worked out okay, I guess.
Worked out all right, but beautiful patina. This thing used to be a shiny black, but it's now rusted over. It is a deep, deep coffee brown and just a beautiful matte rust patina that really only comes from just using it every single day.
Yeah. He does use it a lot. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, other than that, as far as clubs go, Mizuno did their new release.
Yeah, they did release the new JPX 23s, I think, and they didn't look much different from the last ones, to be honest. I think they added another aesthetic line. I don't know the technology behind it, but I mean that was pretty much it. And you were talking about how Scotty Cameron released a new Golo.
Yes. But yeah, it was a Golo. That's he used some really good editing and videography to make it seem like it was way better than the old Golo.
He's a good storyteller. Actually, I think everybody is in accordance that Scotty Cameron is the best marketer out there. But
He does a good job.
it's easy to market a product that's made well.
Like I said, and it's not I wouldn't turn it down. If somebody gave it to me, I'm not going to turn it down because it would match pretty well with my current Golo and my special, even though it's a Golo, my special select fastback round back. That's basically it's a Golo. But yeah, not a lot on the horizon. I don't even know if there's a tournament coming up this week. We'll figure that over this week, and if any big news pops up. I guess Greg Norman did go to Washington to talk about LIV, but I don't care because politicians shouldn't have anything to do with this, in my opinion. So I'll mention it just to mention it because it was somewhat newsworthy that he was going to talk to Congress about the good it's doing. So, but I didn't read much off on it from that, and don't really care. So, we'll see where everything moves from here for Liv, and I'm just excited to see the next Liv event and see what players are the next to go.
Yeah, that should be a pretty interesting announcement.
I think it'll come. Well, they've got theirs. It starts on the 7th, their next tournament. So my guess is we'll get something here.
It might be too late to get in because it is considered the finale, but come the new year, I think there should be some exciting announcements for sure.
I don't know. It's I just think you can still you can still add players because if it's a team format that ends up being the finale, they can still get in that. So as part of a team, if that team, well, that obviously I said if that team makes it, but all 12 teams make it. So they're just changing their team. It's just a late season trade to get you players for the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's all it is. But I think that's it, everyone. Thanks for listening. Until next time, we are out. Thanks for listening to this episode of Birdies and Bogeys. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, leave us a rating and review, and until next time, have a great week.